Yes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why is the sweetest name I know. Once more, yes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as name I know.
Amen. God bless you. It's good to be in church this evening. This is 166 in your hymn book.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. Oh, in the stand and sing it. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory. Oh, let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Oh, just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Oh, when we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. Onward.
want you to greet one another this evening. You. It's good to be in church. Amen. I'd like to thank God for having let my wife April make it back to church. She's has almost no pain, so we know God did something there. We sure appreciate that. Amen. Amen. We have a sign-up sheet in the basement for the adult group special. We'll have our first practice in approximately 2 weeks. Lord willing, going forward, we want to do one or two group specials per quarter. And we'll practice a couple times a month. There'll be more coming out on that, so look forward to that. And I want to continue to remember Brother Joshua Johnson in prayer. He's not feeling well this evening. And if you have an unspoken prayer request, make that known by an uplifted hand. Amen. God bless you. Brother Caleb, would you come up and pray over these prayer requests?
Let us just bow our heads. Dear God, it's just great to be in your house again, Lord, just to sing the song of praises, Lord, and just to worship you, God. That's why we're here. God, we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And Lord, knowing that you healed us back on Calvary, Lord, we just put these requests before you, Lord, knowing that you're the same yesterday, forever, Lord. And Lord, may you be in the remainder of this service, Lord. Whatever Brother Nathan has on his heart, may you just speak to him and let us receive whatever he has for us, Lord. We love you, Father, and ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, Sister Chloe, if you'd make your way up here for a special, I'd ask her to help me teach the church a new song. So she's going to make it her own, and we may sing it afterwards, but we'll see. God bless you.
Joy is the flag.
We try that together. Now, it's a participation song, which I know some of you truly, truly love. But on the second chorus, you can just raise your hand. You're letting your joy, letting it show. Your flag is flying that you have joy in your heart. Let's try that, brother.
Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. Joy is the flag flown high. From the castle of my heart, when the king is in residence there. Oh, let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know. Oh, let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know that the king is in residence there. Joy is the flag flown high.
Brother Darrell, come on up. Prepare for your special.
Castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. Joy is the flag flown high. From the castle of my heart. When the king is in residence there. Oh, let it fly in the sky. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. let the whole world know. Oh, let it fly in the sky. Let the whole world know that the King is in residence there.
Amen. Give yourself and the Lord a big round clap of praise there. Amen. God bless you.
This is my first time following Sister Chloe, and so forgive me. You need to let people know ahead of time that Sister Chloe's singing before. But thank you. I did this song. Man, it's been 5 years. The Lord gave me this song after my cousin passed away, and I think the first time I sang it was at the storefront. And so then it actually come up on my timeline. I've been thinking about singing it. It come up on my timeline. And then Sister Christy had made a comment about it on my timeline, which was 5 years ago. And then Brother Nathan in his sermon this morning actually said some things that were actually in this song. So I thought, okay, Lord. So I hope it blesses you. She lay there in bed, her body ravaged by cancer. The family's tore up, the doctors have no more answers. But she smiles that smile, pushes on through. She says, I'm gonna beat this. That's when God stepped in. He says, stand upon my word, take your hands from it, be faithful to my promise, in time you will understand. Just be still and know that I'm God. She fought 4 long years, but he couldn't break her, no matter what he tried. He failed every time. She just smiled that smile, bowed her head, let her light shine. Oh, what an example she's been. And that's when God stepped in. He said, stand upon my word, take your hands from it, be faithful to my promise. In time you will understand. Just be still and know that I'm God. The battle's over, she's won the fight. The angels took her, everything's alright. She just smiles that smile, takes it all in. She steps through the gates and she sees him. That's when Jesus stepped in. He said, stand upon my word, take your hands from it, be faithful to my promise, in time you will understand. Just be still and know that I'm God. He said, stand upon my word, take your hands from it, be faithful to my promise, in time you will understand. Just be still and know that I'm God. She stood upon his word, she took her hands from it, she was faithful to his promise. Now she understands.
Hey, man, sure appreciate our specials this evening.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves. like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. Oh, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransomed.
Stand this evening.
My chains are gone and I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns unending. Amazing grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Amazing love, amazing.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. Appreciate the presence of the Lord here and appreciate all of you that have come out tonight. And I know normally this wouldn't be Brother Trevor's week to preach, but he missed one a couple weeks ago because he's out of town. He's going to be out of town again next week. So I asked him if he'd take the service tonight and told him just to take his liberty, whatever he'd like to do, if he'd like to take us through the church ages a little further or just preach something that he's had on his heart when he's been out lately or whatever it would be. So we're going to invite him to come at this time. But as he does, let's sing this song together.
One night while alone, life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night, it drove. My heart sank with fear. Oh, in my desperate cry, I rang out with fright. Looked like all I could see was no hope in sight.
sight. With my faith all but gone, that's when I met the one who came looking for me. Aren't you thankful that he did? Oh, he came looking for me. Thank you, Lord, looking for me. Jesus stepped in, said, Satan, this one is mine. Now I'm saved from all harm. Oh, he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me.
He came looking for you tonight. Amen. Not only has he come looking for you, but I feel tonight he is coming and looking for you. Amen. I believe that that's what we're going to hear about tonight. It's that he's looking for you, and he's looking for more of you. Amen. So tonight, maybe some of you were thinking, oh my, I didn't get my lessons done. Brother Furman said, you need to do a slide. And so I did one, and then I deleted it. But tonight, I just want to take a little topic of press the mark. Go ahead, brother. Press the mark if you turn to Luke chapter 16. Just because of my schedule with trips and things, kind of compressed us together and Brother Nathan said, well, you've had some new sermons that we haven't heard. Maybe you should take one of those. And I thought, well, yeah, maybe that's a good idea because otherwise we're giving everybody so much church age book to read in such a small amount of time. So we're good just pacing that out and just been praying about it and felt that this was on my heart to bring. So press the mark. Luke chapter 16, I'm going to start with verse 14. When the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And just a quote we could read, Brother Branham in the Message, Desperations, every man presses into it, not just simply walks into it easily, but it's got to be pressed into. See, now when you seek me with all your heart, then I'll be found. OK, Can we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Father, we're aware tonight that you have promised in your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be in the midst. So, Father, we rejoice in knowing that you are here with us. And, Father, I rejoice in knowing that, Lord, because I know that you are good and strong. You're worthy of all our praise and glory, Father. I know, Lord, that your Spirit is here dwelling in the hearts of many and pressing into others, Lord, that you desire for everyone in this building to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, but you didn't fill us, Lord, just to set us on a shelf, Lord, but you filled us so that you could put us into action, Lord, that you could receive glory out of the work of our yielding, Lord, and letting your gifts in each one of us be used. Father, I'm just asking that your Spirit would use this vessel to speak tonight, and that your Spirit would also take the words that are the truth that comes out, Lord, and quicken it to the hearts of every believer here, Lord. So, Lord, we're thankful that you're here, and we're desirous, Lord, that you would come and change our hearts, Lord. We love you, Father. We can think of no greater honor than to be assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless us now in this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight, as you know, I want to speak on the topic of press the mark. Now, obviously, it can be very easy for us to think about what does that mean, and usually the first thing that we think about is the word press. Well, it's the start of that. And so, yes, we press into it. We must press into the kingdom of God. That is true. But we often don't look at the mark. And maybe I should have underlined mark here, because what is the mark? What does that mean? When we talk about press the mark, what is it exactly is it that we're saying that we need to press? Yes, absolutely, we should press. But what is it that we are pressing to? Because if we don't understand what we're pressing to and what that mark is, then, you know, we could come to a place where we kind of stagnate. You know, it's, well, press the mark. It's like, okay, I did that. And then I hit the mark. So what else am I supposed to press? Now, you tell me press, and I'm like, yeah, let's press. And do what? And so if we don't talk about what the mark is, if we don't understand the mark, then maybe we would come to an end of our pressing. Maybe, you know, and so really what I want to speak tonight on and what we need to consider tonight is, what is that mark? And have we set up an incorrect mark? Because if we set up an incorrect mark that we pressed into, and then we're done and we've got there and all is well, and then, well, but you've hit the wrong mark. You know, I mean, maybe you've seen those. For a long time, the president of my company had this. I don't know. You probably all saw the old Successories posters, you know, that they used to have, and it would have, you know, something under it, you know, consistency. And this one, that's what this one said. This was consistency, but this was one of those not Successory posters, and it said consistency. You know, and it had somebody splitting an arrow at the bottom of the target. And it's like, well, it's only a virtue if you're not messing up every single time. So what's the mark? Well, the mark was actually in the middle of the target. And you're consistently hitting not the middle of the target. You know, you're doing a great job, but you're not hitting the mark. And so yay for you. But I want to hit the mark. I want to know what that is. I want to press the mark. Amen. So we're going to dig into this just a little bit, what that is. Now, Philippians chapter 3, maybe, there we go. Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul speaking. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Who is speaking here? This is Paul. This is the first church age messenger. This is a prophet of God, apostle of apostles. He didn't count himself to have apprehended. This is the man who had so much revelation in his life that God gave him an affliction in his flesh so that, you know, he wouldn't get too proud. Has that happened to anyone here? Anyone got that kind of revelation going on? Like, yeah, God's really put me down physically just because I have so much revelation. But Paul, this man, Paul with so much revelation, I have not apprehended yet. I still press toward the mark. There are things before me that I am pressing towards. Brothers and sisters, every single one of us, no matter where we are in our Christian walk, we should be pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, and as many as are perfect should be thus minded. Well, my goodness, if we're perfect, what is it that we're pressing towards? Like, didn't we reach it then if we're perfect? Brother Trevor, is there, you know, oh my goodness, you guys, you preachers, you're always, you know, you've always got the carrot on a stick, right? Isn't that what's just always going on? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Keep pressing. Keep going. Amen. Yeah, but when do we attain, Brother Trevor? When do we attain? When do we finally arrive? Do you think that there should be a time when you arrive? Because what is that mark? We say, Brother Trevor, what you're saying then, if the mark is never unattainable, like if even Paul and those who are perfect should be thus minded, that they should be reaching forward to the things which are before and not feeling like they've ever apprehended, like, goodness, you know, this Christian walk thing is going to get really, you know, tiring after a while. Don't you think? I mean, at what point, Brother Trevor, have we attained? At what point have we apprehended? You know, and so we think these things sometimes, you know, when we get the Holy Ghost, and it's like, well, look, you know, I've stopped lying and cheating, and you know, I cut out the bad movies in my life, and you know, the bad music, and you know, I've stopped cutting my hair, and I'm wearing the right clothes, and you know, I'm not telling dirty jokes anymore, and you know, I got rid of the bad boyfriend, I got rid of the bad girlfriend, I I've been coming to church 3 times a week. What more do you want of me? When is it good enough, Brother Trevor? When will the preachers be happy? When will they stop yelling at us to do more? So I'd like to ask you then, is your God really that small? Is he really that small that you think, oh, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, do the right stuff, and then he'll be happy? Well, sure, God is happy when you do these. Take steps forward to God. He's happy. He loves to see his children coming towards him. But I would tell you, if you think that coming to church 3 times and getting rid of the junk in your life and all of these things, if you think that, you know, then I'm a good Christian, and see, look at me in a snazzy suit, and I'm here in church on a Sunday night, and I'm good, right? And now I just sit, and like for the next 50 years or until however long it takes for Jesus to come, I just come to church 3 times a week, keep doing these same things, you know, and generally just otherwise live my life the way I want. That's a small God in your mind. That's a very small God in your mind. The God that we are serving is the God that created everything and give you every breath that you have. He deserves it all. And guess what? Not only does he deserve it all, and you should, but if you truly knew him, then your mind would be so captivated by him and desire him so much. If you truly started getting away from you and started seeing him so much, there would be nothing in your mind but, how can I do more? Because you realize that every time, and you all know this is true, every time you took a step toward God, your life got better. Every time you took a step up towards God, man, things just, you thought, he is wonderful. Nobody ever took a step towards God and thought, man, this stinks. So this is the God that I'm talking about. You know, like okay, I took all of these steps. Clean Christian, you know, do the message stuff, say the message things, and sit on the message pew. Like, good enough, right? Okay, sure. But can't your life be even better? As you continually take steps towards God. And as you continually take steps towards God, and you see, the more, you begin to see Him, and the more you begin to see Him, the more He begins to open up. And the more He begins to open up, the more you begin to think, I got so far to go. But it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And so we begin to understand that the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Look, you didn't hit the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus because you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and parked yourself on a pew in the Church of the Open Door. So I hope you're not hearing like, not good enough yet, people. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is He deserves so much. And this isn't a carrot on a stick, you'll never arrive, because here's the reality. I can use Zion as an example here. And Zion began, he's young, and he's, you know, it used to be I'd have to, you know, kick him to practice. Like, get on that piano and practice, you'll thank me later. And then he realized he has a gift and a talent for it, so he begins to play, and he begins to play. And he begins to exercise that gift. And then finally he's now playing in the church at times. And okay, he's exercising the gift. At what point does Zion become the greatest pianist that ever lived? I mean, surely somebody, I mean, it's probably disputable who that might be, but somebody became that at some point in time. But is that such a terrible thing? Like, Zion, don't you want to be a great pianist? He wants to be a great pianist. Is there ever a time you think, yeah, good enough? I mean, I can play Amazing Grace. All right, good. I mean, sometimes we set marks like that, and then we hit them, and then we're done. But if you do that in your Christian walk, you're missing out on the most amazing life that you could ever have. And so when we set our mark too low, and then we press and we hit that mark, and then suddenly it's like, oh, I've hit that mark. I'm sitting on a pew. What do I do? What's my purpose? What's the meaning in it now? I just sit here like a bump on a log waiting for Jesus to come. That doesn't exactly sound right, does it? So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying not good enough, people, keep going. I'm not saying that. I'm saying He is so amazing, He's worth always striving for. He's worth always practicing for. He's worth always pressing towards. That you never will arrive, and guess what? You never want to arrive. Because as we talked about the other day, don't you love the pursuit? When you arrive, what do you have anymore? Well, I'm good. I've done it. I've done the thing. Like, you know, next. No. There's never a next with Jesus Christ. There's always some more to attain, some more to go to, some more to get into. He is the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He has called you to hit that mark. And if you need it over here on the right side, He's called you to hit that mark. You individually are called to hit the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Just as He called Paul, He's calling you. As an individual, not as this church, but as an individual, God is calling you. And guess what? That's wonderful. When God calls you, that means you have purpose. That means you have meaning. When the bar is really high, when the mark is really high, when you begin to get closer and closer to it, guess what that means? It means you're getting good at something. All right. You see, you know, if we go back to the archery thing, if I never hit the target, you know, in the middle, what would you say about me? He's not a very good archer. You know, but the more I can hit the middle of that target, you see, without a mark, without there being, you know, and the smaller that little center circle is, and you can hit that little center circle, you see, boy, now you're getting really good because you hit that that thing, and it's really hard to do, and you've got to have a lot of focus, and you've got to have a lot of skill, and there's a lot to you going on. You see, you've learned something. You've proved that there's something about you. There's a character that you've built and you've developed, and you're able to utilize that towards a specific end. But with no mark, it's like, well, just hit the side of the church. Just take your bow and arrow and hit the side of the church. You know, it's good enough. You can pull her back and let her go. And then, is anyone good at archery anymore? Like, no. You see, when you lower the standards and you lower the mark, then there's less meaning. I mean, does it really mean anything? Like, look, a good archer is just someone who can stand 20 yards from the side of the church, pull back the arrow, and hit the side of the church. That's a good archer. Does anyone care at that point about being a good archer or not? Like, I already know I'm a good archer. I don't even need to try. You see, you set the mark low, and you lose meaning. You set the mark high, and he is meaning. Amen? So we set the mark high. There's so much more meaning in our lives. And this is why it's a high calling. And so there's a, you know, we come to a place where we have a problem in that we set the mark as our message culture. And as long as we do, you know, come and do the messagey stuff and we say the messagey things, then we feel like I've kind of done it. You know, I've kind of hit the mark, you know. And so, you know, and it's like this. And there's many people who come to the message and they're enthralled by all of the doctrine and the mysteries that are being unveiled before them. And they're like, whoa, never saw trumpets, never saw seals. And they're like, whoa. And things are like, they're just on this ramp up, you know, learning the message. And then once they kind of get generally the doctrine, you know, then they kind of plane off. And it's just like, okay, I got the stuff, I get it. You know, I'm. But they enjoyed that feeling of really learning and really growing and really, and sometimes this is actually where false doctrine comes in, is that people like, well, I miss that growing stage in doctrine, so I'm just going to create some. Because I got done learning what there is, you know, and instead of being satisfied in Christ Jesus, and you know that you know, you just feel I gotta keep doing something. You know, see, there's so they get to a place, and so many times there's people that are just happy. It's like, well, I get it. I can tell you what the seven seals are generally, you know. So, you know, I'm good. I'm just plain. And now I'm a message believer, and here I go. I'm gonna listen to tapes. I'm gonna come to church. I'm going to do the stuff. Good for you. Truly good for you. But is that all? Is that, to me, that's a sad thing as we get there. And I feel like, truly, church, I ask you, here's the question I would ask you. When is the last time you truly felt like you were pressing? That you were really pressing, like, this is so amazing. The gospel that we have, the message that we have is so amazing. I gotta press into it. When's the last time you felt like that? Has it been a while? The looking on most people's faces is that they don't care to admit it, but yes, it's been a while since I actually, honest to goodness, pressed. But Paul, with all of his revelation, put the things which are behind me and press the mark to the things which are before. I think we can press as well. Or do we? Well, this probably is familiar to some of us here now, the Ephesian church age. Brother Branham says the very name Ephesus has a strange compound meaning, aimed at and relaxed. The high aspirations of this age that had begun with the fullness of the Spirit, the depth of God, whereby they were aiming at the high calling of God, begin to give way to a less watchful attitude. And so maybe I wonder sometimes, is in the strength of a good, healthy church, do we begin to lose our personal aim? Because we're all bearing the load. Wonderful. I'm glad we're all bearing the load for each other, and we probably should bear the load for each other even more than we do. But you as an individual should continually have a high aspiration and aim high towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and not begin to give way to a less watchful attitude. Because as we already looked at, we know that as you give way to that less watchful attitude and you begin to drift away from your relationship, you begin to fall into bitterness. And as you begin to fall into bitterness, the next step is going to be Nicolaitanism. And you're in the wrong relationship then. And maybe even some of us are even at that bitterness stage. And guess what? If you're bitter, it's probably because the mark that you've come to is that mark of message culture. And it's not the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I think you all understand what I mean by message culture, right? I mean, this should be nothing new. We act like message people. We do messagey things. Good. Good. There's truths that brought out that culture. But being part of that culture does not make you a believer. So where are you at? Where is your pressing? We're going to continue on. You see, the problem is when we arrive, if we get to a place where we feel we've attained the mark, then we stagnate. And we don't get anywhere in Jesus Christ. And that's a sad thing. Amen. So Brother Branham says in the message, the seed of discrepancy. Now we notice that today our churches, all of our churches have sowed to the winds and are reaping the whirlwind. We don't have the prayer meetings. We don't have the services we used to have. What's the matter? We've let down the bars on anything. Look, even to our Pentecostal churches sitting full of bobbed-haired women. You see, what we're talking about here is letting down the bars. Now, when you begin to let down the bars, now people would say, well, you know, why do there have to be any bars anyway? You know, we know the song, you let onto the bars, you let on the bars, the sheep got out, but how did the goats get in? And then, but our culture today would be like, well, you know, who's to say that the sheep should be in and the goats should be out? I mean, are they not all animals anyway? You see, so we can lower the bars. And then, you see, when you lower the bars, you lower definition. You lower meaning. You lower purpose. You guys want purpose in your lives. The last thing you five young men right here want is to look out there in the world and go, there is nothing for me to do. There's nothing I can do to make a difference. I might as well just sit in my parents' basement and play video games because, like, what am I going to do? What is there even worth doing? And the reason that that's even a question, that actually isn't even is a statement that actually may have some reality in their minds and your minds as well, is because people have let down the bars so low. That truly, like, you look in the world and, like, what does matter? So we keep it high. We keep the mark high. The mark gives the meaning. The mark gives the purpose. And in this case, it's Jesus Christ. He gives you the meaning. He gives you the purpose. I want to tell you, five young men, God has a calling for each and every single one of you. An individual calling. Not just to sit on the front row, though great, you're sitting on the front row and God called you to that. But each one of you as an individual, God wants to use you. And God wants you to use your life and put a gift inside of your life to go out and serve him and bring him glory. And he wants to use every single one of you in the same way. So press. So find out. What is it, God? Don't just stagnate in anonymity. Don't just sit there and go, well, I'm a message believer. It's all good. What are you missing out on? You're missing out on so much of Jesus Christ. He is the reason. For what, Brother Trevor? Yes. Everything. Your existence, he is the reason for it. Why wouldn't you give him everything? Why wouldn't it get to your heart so much? Oh my, if you know him, you want to press. If you know him, you never want to get stagnant. If you know him, it's like, oh, he's right there. Yes, let's get closer. Oh, good enough. Yeah, I can see you. It's good. Jesus is right there. And you're going to stop? Really? No. No, church. You're not looking at Jesus if you come and say, oh, yeah, I'm good. Stop right there. He's there, but I'm here and I'm good. I could go further, but I'm not going to. It's not Jesus you're looking at then. So catch a vision of truly who Jesus Christ is. And let him just enrapture your mind so much to say, oh, I guess, let's get close. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing because he's there and there's more and it's wonderful. And the closer I get, it's just great. God didn't call you to sit on a message pew to be part of a message culture. God called you to press into him. And it's the greatest reward that you could ever have. Amen? Amen. So unless something is promoted as high, unless, you know, so part of the problem is we would say if there's standards, you know, if we would say, well, you know, we got to have something high to aim at, but see, the problem is that when you begin, and here's the thing is, you know, young men, you guys begin to let God use you. You guys begin to let God, you know, do something in your life. And then other people haven't quite got there yet. They haven't quite caught that revelation, you know. But you, because you're pressing towards a high mark, and you say, God has something for me to do, I'm going to go do that thing. And then everybody else is just sitting there on their message pew, and then they begin to look at you and go, huh, something's different. He's changed. And there's two things that they're going to do. They're either going to go, I need to be more like that guy, or they're going to be, who does he think he is? You see, and then, so that's the attitude. It's like, well, bring the standard down so then I don't have to feel bad. You see, and so this is John 3:20. You know, it's no man likes the light because, you know, the light exposes that their deeds are evil. And so, you know, when the light of your life begins to shine on less light of theirs, you know, it's like, well, stop doing that. We don't want them to feel bad. After all, aren't they Christians and message believers too? And so let's everybody just calm down, be the same, it's good, pay your tithes, go to sleep. Easy. Go. To hell this way. No. No, church. Don't lull me to sleep. Say, oh, Trevor, you think, oh, yeah, you're just going to go up there, try to be all passionate, think you're so amazing. No! I want Jesus Christ. And I hope that you see that, and I hope it inspires you, and I hope you're feeling the same way. I want more of him. When I wake up in the morning, I've got to have more of him. Many of you responded Sunday night and said, boy, that really touched me. And I, you know, I need to get more in prayer. And I'm like, yeah, me too. I got to get more in prayer. Why do I want to be more in prayer? Because I want to be more like him. Because I want more of him. I want to press in. I don't want to just sit and be, yeah, where's my Bible? Here it is. Yeah, you've all seen me do this. Yep. Yeah. I follow a prophet. Good. As we said last Sunday night, 2 million people did that. Great, you got to be there. But two of those came out. You had to be part of the 2 million, but two of them felt, hey, there's more. There's something for me as an individual, for me to take a sword and to go take my land, to go take my mountain. I'm pressing. Amen, because it's worth it. So I'm not going to lower standards. I'm not going to, you know, well, you know, people want to lower the standards of the message, you know, even, and say, well, you know, ooh, yeah, Brother Branham, he's so rough sometimes. You know, that hello, Miss Dog Meat stuff, like, yeah, we can make it a nicer message, really. And, you know, all of these, you know, these judgmental things, you know, that, you know, okay, sure, we do the stuff, but, you know, just calm down, right? Why? So that you can feel better and have less purpose? No, if God said that, if there was something that God said to me, it's like, I like it this way. Yes. I like it this way. Yes. Good. Thank you. Change me. I'll do it. I'm not going to lower standards of this message. I'm not going to bring down purpose and meaning so that I can feel good, because I know that what he's telling me in that standard, what he's telling me to do in that word, if I will press into that and get there, I'll be like, wow, I feel better than I ever have, and I didn't realize that would happen. Is that not true? Is that not true? When you get away from, you feel like, man, I don't know, God, how am I ever going to get over this thing? How am I ever going to get past this particular thing in my life? And then you finally break through, and God gives you deliverance. And you get there, and you're through that, and you think, God, I never thought I could get past that. That thing was in my flesh so much. But now I feel so great. I feel so free. How could I? What? What was that thing to me before? Like, I don't even understand why I thought that was so great. I don't understand why I felt like I couldn't get rid of it. Because now that I'm here, that thing looks so petty and silly and not worth my time. Now, I hope you've had experiences like that. And you'll find that those experiences can continue to grow. Amen? Yes. Amen. So that structure, what the Word says, that Christ is great, that Christ is everything, I'm not dropping that low. That's the thing that gives value. That's the thing that gives meaning. That's the thing that gives joy. Amen? So I'm going to press to that. You see, so we, like we said, you know, when we feel like we've arrived, see, this is where this false like mark of message culture really gets terrible, because when you get there and you feel like, well, I've kind of arrived. Well, then if you've arrived and you're not really working on anything, then it's just easy to get, as we said, it's easy to stagnate. And when you stagnate and you have nothing to work on, you have nothing to press towards, you have nothing to do, then it's like, what do I do? And then it's not good to be bored, because that's usually when the devil comes in there and says, you know, it's okay. You can wear those earrings. You can do those this, the makeup, the this, the that, the, you know, the drinking, the sports, you know. What sports season is it right now? Can I pick on something? Football has just started, yes. College football season has just started. Oh, my goodness. You know, yes. Yes. If you've arrived in your message walk, you have plenty of time to watch college football. Am I saying it's wrong? Am I saying you can't watch football? Am I saying no? But I'm saying consider the alternative. I'm saying if you're asleep and you've lulled to sleep and by your message culture, then yes, go ahead. Watch plenty of football. Watch it all day Saturday and half the day on Sunday. And good, fine, great. But Jesus is right there. But there's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Brother Trevor, you never watch sports? I didn't say that. I watch some sports, yes. But not at the expense of my pressing in. Because I don't feel like I've arrived. I don't feel like I'm anywhere close to arriving. And I don't want to arrive, because I know that every time I get closer, He just gets more amazing. So let that continue to happen. That's my prayer. And the other thing we begin to do, you see, because see, what's nice about message culture is you can everybody's kind of the same, you know, and we, you know, we just say, well, let's just get people together, let's just do this stuff, and then everybody's good, you see. But then when one young man or one young sister begins to start, oh no, I'm going further, I'm going to take my land, I'm going to start, you know, and then other people are like, whoa, chill out, you're saying we're bad because, you know, what we're doing isn't good enough. And, you know, like I just said, you know, if you're watching too much college football, you're saying I'm bad. No, I'm not saying you're bad. I'm just saying the mark's way up here. Let's keep going. You see, we're not going to pull it down and say that's okay. No, keep pressing. Keep pressing. See, one of the problems that we have is the problem that we try to fix each other. You see, so that's what this, we have this standard, and then we start thinking like, well, I'm doing pretty good, so I need to fix other people. Anybody ever felt that way? Yeah, all the time. Now, sometimes that's God using a gift in your life. Great, great, wonderful. Do that. Press in. Do it. But to just sit there and not ever look at your own life, to not ever try to say, I need to press, then you're sitting there and what are you trying to bring them into? So we went on a walk at Brother Luke. We were at Brother Luke Gibson's church. I don't know, like a year ago or something like that. And we took a walk. We were at one of the brothers' houses. And this brother has a blue heeler, I think, sheepdog. And so they were all joking around. It's like, oh, this dog is just so terrible because he nips at your heels. And so we were wondering, you know, they're like, oh, he's going to get Brother Trevor this time. Like, yeah, they're over here. That dog is going to get somebody. And they would laugh about how, like, that dog could be halfway across the yard and somebody's about to go into the house, and that dog will shoot off that yard and you know, before the person can get in the house and nip their heel, before they can walk in the house, because he's just looking for an opportunity to nip at somebody's heels, you know. And so we take this walk, and of course the dog comes with us. It was an uncomfortable walk. And none of my family trust this dog at all. Of course, you know, they're already said, like, yeah, it's going to get Brother Trevor today. It's like, yeah, this is going to cause a problem, because when that dog bites my ankle, I am going to kill it. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to kill someone's dog. Like, that, it's not supposed to bite me, but I'm not sure if the correct reaction is to kill their dog and then go preach for them the next day. Like maybe we have the funeral in the morning, and then I don't know. I don't know how that works, you know, but I was worried about it, you know? And so we're on this walk, and I told my family, I said, look, the reason it nips is because it has a nature to get everybody together and to have all the, so just stay in the middle, because he's only worried about the people like straggling to get them part of the pack. So if we stay in the middle, like we should be fine, you know, but still that dog, you know, he's circling, you know, he's over here and he's checking out the group, and then he's coming over here and he's checking out the group, making sure everybody's in the pack, you know? And so we're like, this is how we're walking, you know, down the country road. God doesn't need message sheepdogs. This isn't pack mentality. You see, our culture today, not message culture, it is too, but regular culture today, you know, that you're supposed to stay with the pack, and as the pack progresses, you know, with the progressives, you're supposed to stay with them, and they have plenty of sheepdogs on Twitter to keep you in line, you know, and shame you if you're not in line, and nip at your heels and push you around and try to get you as part of the pack. And you know, this kind of thing actually gets into message culture, and we think that like somehow we can use message culture to keep people in message culture. For what? For what? What's the point? If a whole bunch of people are sitting in a church, not doing anything, not pressing the mark, not living with every moment that I want to bring more glory to Jesus Christ, then, what good is it that they're there? Brother Branham says we're living far below our privileges. I want to ask, is that right? But everybody just said amen. So I had to say that differently. Far below our privileges. Parents, when your kids, your teenagers specifically, come to you and ask you, hey, I want the keys to the car. I want more privileges. I want a phone. I want this privilege. I want, you know what? Here's a good one. Here's a great one. I want a dog. What does every single parent ever said to their child? No, you will have to feed it. You will have to bathe it. You will have to train it. You will have to do this. You will have to do that. Look at all of these responsibilities that go along with that privilege of owning a dog. And of course, every child ever has said, of course, I'm going to do all of that. And every parent ever has said, yeah, for the first week or two. And then, of course, the parent gives in, gets the dog. Not me, I haven't, but... and then prophecy becomes fulfilled. And the parent feeds the dog and bathes the dog and takes care of the dog. We got an amen out of Brother Nathan. How many? How many amens, right? Yep, got plenty of hands in. Okay, so privileges that we're living below our privileges... We're living below our privileges, the prophet says, and we all want more privileges in Jesus Christ. But with privileges comes responsibility. Comes you beginning to do something. Begins you beginning to step up a little higher into Jesus Christ. Begins to say you taking on like, Bible reading every day. Praying every day. You know, making your calling and election sure, studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be Ashamed, thank you. I can memorize a bit more. The more responsibilities you begin to have, the more you press towards the mark that's totally worth it, the more privileges that he's going to give you as well. That's how this works. And so if we feel like, man, yeah, it's too bad we're living, yeah, prophet said we're living below our privileges. Yep, that's a quote. It's too bad. What a shame. Is that what we do? We say, no, not on my watch. Not if I can help it. I want as many privileges in Jesus Christ as I can get. And man, I just, you know, there's the quote where Brother Branham says it's going to take a paradox to get everybody together, but God's going to do it and have everybody in unity. It's like, well, you know, okay, amen, it's the truth. It's going to be a paradox, but I don't have to sit here and wait, and I know that's what it's going to take, but in my heart, I want to be united in Jesus Christ with every true believer of God. I want to press towards that mark because that's what Jesus would do. So I'm not going to lower any standards. I'm not going to let a message culture define anything. I'm not going to try to be molded into a message culture. But I'm going to sit there and allow the Word of God. I'm going to listen to the tapes. I'm going to listen to the preaching. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to press into everything that God has given to me so that I can continue to attain and press. I'm going to say it a lot. So we're living far below our privileges, then we're living far below our responsibilities too. And well, let's go. Don't stay there. Amen. Sudden secret going away of the church. It's not up to the Branham Tabernacle. Neither is it up to any church. It's up to you as an individual to be ready at the coming of the Lord. It's up to you. As an individual, it's worth saying again. It's up to you as an individual to be ready at the coming of the Lord. You must be ready. I must be ready. I'll sweep my own steps. It's up to you to sweep your steps. Leave mine alone. Me leave yours alone. You've got to make your garment ready. Now, I know we've heard this quote in this church already before, but you know, it's worth thinking about for just a little bit, because to me, doesn't that seem mean? Like, you know, I'm going to sweep my steps. You sweep your steps. You leave mine alone. I'm going to leave yours alone. We're just, you know, hey, you do your thing. I'll do mine. We're good. Doesn't that kind of sound mean? Like, maybe that's not, we know, okay, Brother Bram said it. It's probably not against the spirit of Christ. But, you know, kind of sometimes we could sit here and go, how does that work? Exactly, because I thought we were supposed to love one another, but we're supposed to sweep our steps and not worry about their steps. Well, yes, amen. You're supposed to sweep your steps and not worry about their steps. Because while you sweep your steps, you can begin to inspire others. You know, there's this whole thing of keeping up with the Joneses. You know, why don't we use that to good effect? You know, I'm going to polish up these steps. Get that dirt off my steps. Get that dirt off my steps. Hey, what are you doing over there? I'm sweeping my steps. Those look good. Yep. Mine don't look as good. Man, I'm just over here sweeping steps. Like, I got dirt I gotta get rid of. I mean, you need a broom? I can't sweep those steps. It doesn't work that way. But I got dirt on my steps that need to be swept. I got to sweep my steps. I hope that's inspiring when I get nice, shiny, clean front porch and you go, woo, would that look good? How'd you do that? Swept my steps. What are you trying to say? That my porch looks good because I swept my steps. Well, mine don't look that good. I exhort you to sweep your steps. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fret at night because there's other people's steps and oh my goodness, they're burnt, you know, oh, those people have dirty steps and they, you know, we got to pray for them. Their steps are dirty. Yeah, go ahead, pray for them, but don't sit there and worry about it. Sweep your steps. Be an example. Don't let your steps be half dirty and then be like, oh my goodness, look, I mean, I know my steps could be worked on, but look at theirs. Oh my goodness, we got to pray. Woo, those are the dirtiest steps I've ever seen. Well, have looked at yours lately? Really, truly, honestly, have you looked at yours lately? Because there's probably some dirt on those steps. There's probably some DVDs on the shelf that could be swept, you know, swept right into the trash can. You know, there's probably some clothes that could get swept right into the gas, the trash can. There's probably some magazines. There's probably some of this and some of that that can be just, you know, that first step, man, it's a doozy just trying to, you know, because, you know, as a web developer, I look at a project, you know, I got this project I have to do. And if I begin and I just look and it's like, okay, database and design and how it all works and I just, you know, you stare at two 37-inch monitors as if somehow the answer is going to be extracted and that code will be written and in months this thing will be done and, you know, but yet you stare because you're looking at all of it. And it's analysis paralysis, and you don't do anything because it's just like, well, I got so much to do. Where do I start? This is somewhere. Pick one. Start, because at least something is happening. I exhort you to start with the first step. And that's probably, you know, a lot of this physical life. A lot of how we act, what we take in, what we do, all these kinds of things. Look, start sweeping that step off. Well, I don't want to get rid of those. Okay, Jesus, Mark of the High Calling, or your DVDs. Now, when you get past that, like if you're like, oh my goodness, there you go again, Brother Trevor, trying to kill joy on our fun. You haven't figured out that Jesus Christ is fun. You haven't figured out that Jesus Christ is so fulfilling. You haven't figured, I mean, come on, get a hold of Jesus Christ. Because he's worth it. And he's better than any of those things. And you take that step and you get it clean. And then you stand there and you're like, whoa. I get it now. I didn't then, but now I get it. You know, maybe I shouldn't have gotten so mad at Brother Trevor. But I ain't going to go apologize. That's okay. You don't have to. So go ahead and be mad. But what I'm trying to do is tell you for your own good. Sweep the step. I'm not saying your steps are dirty and mine aren't. I'm just saying we got to sweep our steps. It's up to you as an individual to be ready at the coming of the Lord. You must be ready. I must be ready. I'll sweep my steps. It's up to you to sweep your steps. So, you know, we get the first step kind of clean, you know, and we get, you know, the right kind of dress and the right kind of content and the right kind of stuff. And we do the right things, and it's like, yes, I'm a message believer with my first step all clean, and I'm doing right. Like, everything I'm doing is right, right, right. I'm pretty good. You got the first step clean. There's like five more. Keep going. Keep going. Because, you know, this is, as I was praying, this is one of the, maybe some of you heard when I preached Declaration of Righteousness, and that was like 7 years ago. I think it was at the school that I preached that. I almost just thought I'd just re-preach it. But there was just kind of one concept that I wanted to bring out of there. It's like this first step, if we get it clean and we feel like, oh, I am righteous now because I'm doing right things and I'm not doing wrong things. And so I am righteous. But Brother Branham comes along and he says, righteousness, there's got to be mercy in it. That righteousness requires mercy. You see, just because you've done all these good things and your life is clean doesn't mean you're righteous yet. If you're not merciful, you're not righteous. God is righteous. Why is he righteous? Because even though he has a high requirement, he also has mercy to go along with it. And so for me to just say, you're out because your steps, they're not clean enough. That's not righteousness. There's not a single one of us that thinks the prodigal son, older brother, is righteous. Right? Yet what is his response to the father? Have not I served you in your house? Have not I done the right thing all the time? Have not I done everything that you've asked me to do? And yet you're throwing a party for that guy, that sinner? Why isn't there a party for me? I'm doing the right stuff. And we're all like, yeah, he's not righteous. You can tell by his attitude. Right, because that second step now becomes your attitude, becomes the things in your heart. It becomes, don't just because the first step is clean, there's a reason you were doing the things that were on your first step that you needed to be clean. Now you got to start cleaning that inside and going, why did I even have that stuff in the first place? Oh, Lord, is it because I desire this? God, that's terrible. I got to get that out. Sweep me. And Lord, I realize I don't love my brothers like I'm supposed to. Man, they just aggravate me. Oh my, And yeah, I used to dress kind of, borderline just a little bit. What causes that? Oh, maybe I just don't have the spirit of modesty that I ought to have. Because it's miserable to have the first step clean and the second step, it's like, wow, this looks amazing. That's just miserable. So clean the next one. The next one is what caused the problem on the first one anyway, you know, because you came from the ground with your dirty feet and then you got dirt. So yes, you clean the first one, but you know, get down to the next one and then get down to the one after that. And then maybe pave the walkway when you get done so that it doesn't happen again. Bury that stuff under good concrete. Sweep your steps. Let's just get rid of the silly sins in our lives. But not only the silly sins, let's begin to get rid of the things in our hearts that cause those issues. Let's let mercy come into our hearts. Let grace come into our hearts. Humbleness, sweetness, modesty, shamefacedness, sobriety. These are all scriptural terms. How many of us are really good at them? That's right. Yeah, you know why? Because the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We can keep going, church, and it's a wonderful thing. You all sitting there going, oh my goodness, like Brother Trevor beating us down hard tonight. I am trying not to beat you down and say, get better. I'm trying to say that mark is so high and it's wonderful, church. That mark is high and it's amazing. And I'd like you to see how amazing it is. And let's go and let's do it. Let's get into the amazing thing. Let's not say, well, I'm here. Church of the open door. It's open. I came in. Praise God. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Yay! Good, keep going. Keep praising, keep pressing. The mark is high, and it's wonderful that it's high, and I don't want to bring it down. Amen? Well, it's kind of quiet tonight. I'll try to wrap this up. Now, when we were at youth camp, there was a young man named Trevor, coincidentally enough. And Trevor was my problem. Trevor would leave service right at the end. Trevor would, you know, just generally kind of disrespectful and different things. I probably should have changed his name. There might be young men in here that knew him, but too late now. So... Whoops. Yeah. So his address was... No. And I would go to him and say, hey, I just need you to go do this. Yeah, whatever. Like... I have patience. I'm a good Christian. But really what I want to bring out is... Trevor was a leader. This young man, if he could see the potential in his own life, if he could see the possibilities in his own life, if he could see the qualities that he had, because when he decided he was... Look, there was all kinds of people in our dorm. There were all kinds of young men doing what the pack was doing. And there might have been two or three packs, but there were, man, there were all kinds of young men doing what the pack was doing. And maybe that, maybe a pack had a leader, maybe a pack had a couple leaders, maybe a pack was just kind of like four guys just doing, but there was all kinds of people doing the thing because that's what everyone else was doing. That's message culture. Trevor had something different. See, Trevor did what he wanted to do because of the reasons that he had in his own heart. That's great. That's great. It's just, he just was doing the wrong things. But if you ever got the Holy Ghost on the inside, you understand the potential this young man had. I just looked at him and I just thought, dear God, get a hold of him because, man, a guy like that will change this world because of the potential he has on the inside. If he can direct and channel the qualities that he has in the right way, he could, man, he'd change this whole dorm. Every single young man in this dorm would look at that guy doing his thing the way he does it. If he just did it for Jesus Christ instead of for himself, every guy in that dorm would have been just like, whoa, dudes, let's do this. Let's get closer to God this week. Because I guarantee that would have happened if that young man would have stood up and said, I'm getting closer to God this week. You see, inside of you is a potential. And I don't want you to miss this. Inside of every single one of you is a potential that God wants to use, that God wants to grab a hold of and make great and make amazing and do wonderful things with. Maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you don't see that in your own life, but it's there. I guarantee you. God wants to use every single individual in this church. Now, you see, because a Christian is not a tool or some kind of mechanical wrench to a great big religious regime. That's right. Anybody just want to be a tool in some big machine? You know, I mean, that sounds boring. A Christian is not some kind of tool that keeps a religious organization moving. A Christian, that's not a Christian. A Christian is to be Christ-like. A Christian cannot be a Christian until Christ comes into that man, the life of Christ in him, then it produces the life that Christ lived, and you do the things that Christ did. So we're not asking you to just come in here and be a good church member. No. Be an individual. Let Christ come on the inside. Don't be just a tool in the message to just do messagey things and just go, you know, down to the bridge and say messagey things and, you know, and all of this stuff. No, like great. Like there's, we could train every single one of us, and we could bring out squads of people down to the bridge in Jeffersonville, and we could witness this message, and we could make every single one of you good at debating this message and why everybody else is wrong and why they need Jesus and why they need to follow a prophet and all of these things. And then after like 2 weeks, the general people that walk the bridge and come down and come in contact with you would be like, oh yeah, those guys, I get their thing, I know their thing. That's a tool in a big religious organization. If you think I'm just speaking politically right now, get the thought of your mind. I'm not doing that. I'm being serious. Like you can become part of that pack and part of this message thing and say message stuff, and nobody will respect it. But if you're sitting there and then you begin to develop relationships with people, and this is how Brother Branham told us to witness. Go tell the guy that's selling a car that he's got great cars, and then if there's an opening, you know, you talk about the Lord. And. This is how it's done, you see, because you're real. Because you're not just a bunch of trained up message people, but you are individuals called to the high calling of Jesus Christ, and you're pressing into that and attaining that, and God is using you in your individuality. Because of, just like God could use Trevor at camp, God could use you in your individuality. What he wants out of you, maybe you're quiet. Well, God's going to use you in quiet ways. You know, there's been quiet people that have impacted my life. They just said one little thing, and it's just like, whoa, hold up. Quiet person just said something, and whoa, I was moved. Like, never going to forget that. Good. Praise God. God's using you in your individuality. That's wonderful. That's what God wants to do. We need to reject this idea that it's good enough. Why? God doesn't think it's good enough. God wants more. God knows your potential. Just like I could see this potential in this young man at camp. Maybe he thought he was good enough, and he's at camp, and he's doing the thing. But there's so much potential there. And that's you. You have so much potential there. God wants to use it. Sweep your steps. Start pressing towards the mark. And God is going to do amazing things through your life. But not while keeping your own stuff. No, recklessly abandon it all and go. Press. The mark is high. And it's a wonderful thing that it's high. Amen. I don't want to just be replaceable by, you know, just like, you know, Brother Trevor, he's like every single other message preacher that came along. You know, it doesn't really matter if it's Brother Trevor or somebody else. I mean, he's like, no, I hope that actually there's something unique about me that's good and helpful and different. And God uses my individuality. And God wants to do that with you. Amen. He wants to use your individuality. I love that God doesn't just want to mold us. He wants us to surrender who we are to Him, and He can use us differently than anyone else. Because God made you. Everybody just
hug God, turn it off. I don't know how to do that.
Just hug yourself right now, because God loves you for you, and just, I mean, kind of. I mean, yeah, I'm joking, but God does want you to be an individual. God did. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You as an individual. Amen? So we keep the mark high. God wants to use people. God wants to use you. God wants you to continue on. Maybe just read this quote. Influence. We mustn't try to impersonate anyone. Just be what you are, see? And that's the way God made you. You never fashioned yourself. And remember, as much as we ministers would like to take Billy Graham's place, we cannot do it. Neither can Billy Graham take our place. See, we each one has something to do. Each one, your one, has something to do. The common little fellow here that may be a janitor, the little woman that may be a housewife, the greatest minister on the face of the earth today could not take your place. That's how wonderful your place is. That's how unique your place is. You. God had a purpose in making you what you are. God had a purpose in making you what you are. Sister Rebecca, God had a purpose in making you the way you are. Brother Adam, God had a purpose in making you the way you are. So it's okay that you're quiet. Sister Stephanie, God had a purpose in making you the way that you are. Every single one of you, God had a purpose. You're the way you are for a purpose. What is that purpose? Press. Find it. Let God use you. Let God pull you into the adoption of sons. Let God pull you into the placing of sons, where you are beginning to do what He's called you to do, where you're beginning to fulfill the purpose that He has for you. And how amazing of an experience is that? Is that God, the Almighty God, how many thousands of years ago, back in eternity, had a thought about who Trevor Eamon would be, and when he would live, where he would live, and that Trevor Eamon had a purpose. And then Trevor Eamon comes and is like, whoa, there's a purpose for me. Almighty God has a purpose for me, and now I'm doing it? Amen. Cool. Amazing. Wonderful. To fulfill the purpose that God has for you. Oh, you have a purpose. You have a calling. You have something to do. Do you understand that's love coming out from God? Saying, I don't just want the group of you. No, I want you as an individual. Yeah. There's another person too, but yeah, I want you. Sister Shabari, I want you. I want to pull you. Yes, I have something for you to do. Amen. 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 The identified masterpiece of God. We're always going to be that way because God is not a Sears and Roebuck Harmony House. He's a God of variety. He makes one way and another one another. But we must serve Him in the way God made us and be glad and stay behind His word. Amen. That's the way God did it. God now, through this time, has cut out some very odd stones that we might not have understood. He's talking about the building of the temple and how they cut each stone and they fit perfectly. And maybe you were looking and be like, oh, there is a weird spot there in this temple that's a hole right now. And they're going to have to make a really weird stone to slide right in there without a hammer. And then that's somebody like me who's just different and odd. And maybe you feel like I'm odd and I'm cut funny and I look different and I do this and I'm just odd. That's okay. God has a purpose for that. God wants to use you. God loves you. God made you that way for a purpose. Amen. Joshua, by inspiration, not by mathematics, he lauded each one of those patriarchs in the position just exactly the way their name belongs. What a picture it puts before us of God and his masterworks. No one could have ever done it but God. There's no way of doing it. God alone. It was theirs forever. It was a gift from God. By his marvelous grace, give these people this land and this position and place them in it according to his word and the birth of the people. Just perfect how it clucked right together. And I think it was a type. So God had a purpose in making you a specific way. And he wants to use that. So press. Press into it. Press into it. I'm almost done. I just don't want to miss anything too good here and skip over too much. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Church, we've talked many times. Brother Nathan mentioned it the other day. Like, I'm not coming to your home. Brother Nathan's not coming to your home. Deacons aren't coming to your home. We're not cleaning your shelves. We're not sweeping your steps. But what we are saying is there's probably some sweeping that could be done. And that should be done. And that Jesus is asking you to do more. That Jesus is asking you to sweep your steps. That if you're going to claim to be a believer, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, then do it. Then go. Grab a hold of the purpose that God has for you. But you're at liberty. You're free. It's wonderful. Just don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't sit there in anonymity. Don't sit there and stagnate. But let God do something wonderful in your life. Amen? I just want to read a few quotes that when I was a young man, you know, Brother Ron Spencer read a few of these. We talked over a lot of these at Bible studies and different things, you know, back in our early days. But they inspired me. And so if you will, just for a few minutes, I just want to read you a few of some of the quotes that inspired me. That let me just read. The stature of a perfect man. Now that is the house God dwells in, not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple, see? But a body hast thou prepared me, a body that God can dwell in, God can walk in, God can see in, God can talk in, God can work in. Amen. Living instrumentality of God, God walking on 2 feet in you. Glory, the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you, for ye are written epistles, read of all men. And the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. From the Church Age book, chapter 9, the people who took the revelation from God and became from God became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until this last day there's again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. A quote that we're about to read here in the next lesson on the Church Age book, although we're going to take it out of the spoken word as the original seed. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction bring forth of its kind, Genesis 1:11. These last days, the true church bride comes to the headstone. She will be a super church, a super race, as she nears the great headstone. They will be so much like him, they will be even in his very image. In order to be united with him, they will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. I heard the brother tell me, and I had never heard it before, that I was a final voice to the final age. Not the, but a. A final voice to the final age. I went, wait, nobody told me that before. Oh, I learned about a tent. I learned about third pole. I learned dates. I learned doctrines. I learned all kinds of things. And I had a good training when I was a young man. But nobody had told me that I was a final voice to the final age. Nobody told me that God wanted to use me and speak through me. And I went, you know how you do? You just kind of like, hey, you got a purpose. And you're like, yeah. You're right. Your shoulders start kind of going back a little bit. You start standing a little taller. You see, because when you start getting into Christ, you know, it changes everything about you, how you walk, how you stand, how you talk, how everything. And so he says, hey, you're the final voice of the final age. I'm like, yes. God can talk in you. God can walk in you. God on 2 feet in you. And I'm like, My walk changes just a little bit. I'm a little snappier. I'm a little happier. I'm a little like, yes, okay, God, all right. You mean all this doctrine that I've been learning for a long time has a purpose? Yes, church, yes, it has a purpose. You're not just sitting here learning the things of God so that you can come back to sit here and learn the things of God so that you can come back and... No, God wants to fill you with this. The revelation is there to set you free and to make something out of your life, to tell you about what this world is, what the purpose is, how high the mark is, and that not only is it high, but that you have something inside of you that you can go and say, yes, I'm going. God can use me. God can take this stuff and do something. And that's you. And so as I read those quotes, I hope that you begin, your shoulders begin to square back. And you mean there's something for me in this? I'm not just cleaning my life for no reason. No, you're not just cleaning your life for no reason. You're cleaning your life because an amazing God wants to fill you and do amazing things through your specific individual things that you can do. And I think that's amazing. I think that's wonderful. And when it comes to me and somebody tells me God wants to use you, he wants to leave you like you, but he wants to fill you. Okay, God, isn't that the best of both worlds? I get to be me and you. Yeah. He loves you, church. He made you the way he made you for a purpose. Musicians can come. So when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, that's the same as deity speaking. This is the kind of thing Brother Nathan was talking about this morning. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. Before me? He can't stand before me when I have the word of God in my heart and I speak the word of God? Yeah, that's right. He can't stand there. I really like this final quote. Each one of us play a part in this picture and in this song. We are parts of the kingdom of God. And that is, we can play our parts as long as we realize where we are positionally, belong in this place, and then stay right there in that place. And one place we know that it's in love, because that's what makes up the picture. The words that always come to mind is that a man with a 7th grade education said that. Each one of us play a part in this picture and in this song. And one place we know, it's in love, because that's what makes up the picture. What an artist God is, that we are in a part of his picture. What a composer God is because you have a place in the song. He's the most amazing artist. He's the most amazing composer. Why don't you say, yes. Yes, God. I'll play my part. I'll be part of it. I'll let the love of God flow through me. I'll change. I'll sweep the step. I'll get that thing done. And then I'll get down to the next step. And I'll be like, yes, God, I'll have more love in my life. And I'll be more positive, as we heard this morning. And I'll start speaking positive things. And I'll change everything about me, God, by your help. But let me play a part in this picture and in this song. So where are you, church? Realize where you are positionally. What mark are you trying to hit? Is it the mark of a message culture? Or is it the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? I don't know if I said all of this right or if how it all came out, but I pray that your hearts are inspired. Maybe Sister Stephanie, you can just pick something and start playing. But church, I just pray that you'd be inspired tonight, that the Holy Spirit is just, we worship, just let him just come and speak to you now. Lord, what's my part? Where's my place? And how high do I have that mark? Can we just pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just unloaded what's on my heart. I said things that I didn't plan on saying, didn't say some of the things I planned on saying, Lord. But I just trust that you're over all of it, Lord. That I was just in your channel and I was being me, Lord. And letting the gift in me just work, Lord. I just pray that each one of us would desire that same thing, God. Can I just be me and you? Can you use me? Can I fulfill the purpose that you have for me, Lord? Oh, God. Lord, I just pray that each heart here would begin to just look at their lives and find out, where have I been? Have I been pressing? Is it because I'm lazy? Or is it because I didn't have the mark high enough and felt like I'd already arrived? God, I pray that you would just shine forth your light to let us see that that mark is so high, so wonderfully high and amazing, that we could spend thousands of years walking and pressing into it and never really come to the end and never, never be upset about it. God, I love you and I want to press. Touch each heart now, Lord. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Even if there was a rupture, Satan, that proves you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on and on and on, pressing on. I'll keep pressing on to the higher calling of my
journey on, little bride, your change is soon at hand. Just a few more days of trouble, and you'll be in that land. That same Lord Jesus that kept you by his side, he's gonna send down your theophany in that resurrection hour. You just keep pressing. Is that your desire tonight? Lord, I'll just keep pressing on. Oh, I won't turn back. I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Why don't we stand and sing it tonight? Oh, little bride, keep pressing. Lord, I'm pressing on. Keep on pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Let's sing it this way again. Well, old Satan, he'll try to stop you and turn you aside, and he'll say, no need for you to go on. Why even try? Oh, even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. Oh, but we just say, Satan, we're gonna prove you're a liar again. We're gonna keep pressing on. Oh, sing it this way tonight. Oh, I'm so glad I'm pressing on and on and on. Oh, I'm pressing on through every trial and tribulation. Keep on pressing on to the higher calling of my I just came into a valley, one like I've never seen before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world we'll see. Oh, I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, these kind of tests we must face. But it is here that God will mold you, make you what you ought to be. God will make your trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Now I'm standing on my mountain, looking back I can see. Oh, it was in my lowest valley, His strong hand kept leading me. Oh, it's so good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. Our God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace it gives to me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. You see, I was not the first one who has come into this place. No, every child of God, these kind of tests will have to face. But it is there that God will mold you. He'll make you what you ought to be. God will make your trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
Amen. God bless you tonight. It's been good to be in church. Amen. I appreciate what the Lord laid on Brother Trevor's heart about keep pressing. Amen. Don't get complacent. Don't get satisfied with where you're at with your walk with God, but there's more of God to be had. Just keep pressing. Amen. I love the illustration he used of sweeping your steps. I love how God can give a minister inspiration just to dig so deep into something so simple, and you just more and more keeps unfolding. You think, goodness, that was just wonderful. I appreciated that tonight. And Sister Vera asked us to remember a co-worker in prayer for an unspoken request that they had asked prayer for. So let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe you spoke to hearts tonight. And Lord, maybe you're still trying to speak. And Lord, maybe some they're struggling with it. And Lord, trying to say, well, was that really you, Lord? Or could that be for me? And Lord, maybe they've ran, or maybe they've tried this or they've tried that, but something within them is compelling them to climb up to a higher place in Christ than they've ever been before. Maybe they have fears that are holding them back. Maybe they're afraid of what people say about them, or maybe they're afraid that they're unworthy, Lord, or that they couldn't be all that you're calling them to be, Father. But Lord, if you placed a call in their life, if you're calling, if you're knocking at their door, Lord, then you will place something within them as well to perform what it is that you're calling them to do, Lord. Lord, we recognize that when there's a deep calling to a deep, Lord, there's a deep to respond. Lord, if you're calling us to a higher walk in you, Lord, then there's more of you that can be had. And Lord, I ask that you be with each one. Lord, may they not walk out of here and just ignore what's been said, but Lord, may it sink deep in our hearts, Lord, that there's a mark that we should be pressing towards. Lord, maybe some's not even anywhere near where they need to be. Maybe they know that. Maybe they can admit that and be honest with themselves, Lord. But may they start tonight. Lord, maybe if it's just that first step, maybe they start sweeping there and realize, Lord, that it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Maybe there's others that are farther along in their Christian walk and they've swept step after step, but yet it seems like something's just still not right. Seems like you're checking them on things and convicting them on things that they know they should do differently, but the temptations of the world or just the influences around them have held them back from sweeping those last steps, Lord. May they take courage tonight in the Holy Spirit, Lord, to move forward into you, into a closer relationship with you, Lord. We thank you that you set the mark high, Lord, that you didn't make it some compromising thing that we could just be complacent and be like the rest of the world, Lord, but you're calling us to a higher walk in you, Lord. May we hear that call and completely embrace it and accept it tonight, Father, we pray. Lord, be with this co-worker of Sister Vera's. Lord, may you move on the scene in a mighty way. May they recognize a supernatural, living God working in their situation. May a testimony come forth from it, we pray. Lord, we don't know the details, but you know all about it. We commit it to you, Lord. Be with each one as we go our separate ways. Protect us and keep us safe, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Let's sing this together before we go.
Oh, there's a highway to head. My load gets lighter. With him I'm going, walking up the King's highway. Oh, and it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I can't.